Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. My guest today is Matthew Cercely. Matthew is a lawyer who has dedicated his practice to helping people learn more about how to legally reduce their taxes and provide peace of mind that you aren't doing anything that will likely annoy the IRS. He lives in the North Dallas area, but has clients all over the country. When not messing with the government, he spends time with his three children or reads, weight lifts, or goes camping. So, Matthew, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Glad to be on.
I'm happy to have you here. You know, taxes are always one of these things that they're like the necessary evil. Let's start this with providing the listeners with an understanding of what the difference is between a tax attorney and an accountant. Like, what is a tax advisor?
Yeah. So a tax advisor is somebody who works with you ahead of time to do things to change your tax situation. So a tax advisor will meet with you, say, in this year in 2024, and have you do things in 2024 so that when you actually do your accounting and do your taxes in 2025, you owe less money because of what you've already done. An accountant generally is just the number cruncher. They're going to say, okay, what did you do? This is what you owe. Now, some CPAs and accountants are tax advisors, and some tax advisors are lawyers. But the vast majority of CPAs are not tax advisors. They want to tell you what you owe. You know, maybe if they see something when they're doing that, they'll say, hey, if you had done this differently, you'll owe a little bit less. But they're not in the planning. They're not in the forward thinking. They're basically always looking at what already happened, what happened in the past.
I get it. Yeah, that makes sense to me. Okay. So now let's get into this. What should we all be doing? So there are different kinds of entities for businesses. And I feel like this confuses a lot of people. You know, there's sole proprietor, LLC, incorporation. Can you talk about the advantages or disadvantages of each of those? And how does someone know which one they should be?
Yeah, so this is legitimately a confusing topic, especially because sometimes on the business side, a word means one thing, and then on the tax side, it can mean a slightly different thing.
Oh.
So there's four general tax categories, a sole proprietorship and a partnership, and then what's called an S-corp and a C-corp. A sole proprietorship is what you have if you don't do anything special and you're in business by yourself. Or if you have an LLC and don't tell the government, I want to be taxed differently, and you're the sole owner, you'll be a sole proprietorship. For the vast majority of small businesses, sole proprietorships are really kind of bad. You pay a lot of what are called self-employment taxes on your income that you can avoid some other ways. That said, if you have a side hustle, sometimes it is the ideal way to do things, and there are advantages. Partnerships are basically taxed the exact same as a sole proprietorship. The only difference is you have multiple owners, and there's a taxation form you need to file by March 15th of every year for the partnership. The C Corp is something almost everyone should avoid, at least as a primary thing starting out, because you pay tax. In that case, the company pays taxes, and then you pay taxes. So you pay tax twice. The S Corp is kind of the gold standard for, I'm going to go with about 95% of small businesses, because again, you can avoid some of those self-employment taxes, and self-employment taxes are 15.3% on the first, I think it's $170,000 about this year. So if you make $100,000, you would owe 15.3% in payroll taxes in addition to your income taxes. But as a sole proprietor, you can basically split it in half to where you don't owe that full 15.3%. Maybe you pay it on the first $60,000. You don't pay it on that last $40,000. And now you just cut your tax bill by $6,000.
Wow.
That said, so the downside to an S Corp is it is a little more paperwork. It costs money to set up. It's a more complicated tax form that most accountants are going to charge you more money to do. So it's, you know, it's not great if you're, say, making $10,000 a year in your side hustle.
Right.
And then going back to how do you know what you are?
Yeah.
Well, if you file a corporation, then you're defaulted to a C corporation unless you tell the government you want to be an S corporation. If you don't have any sort of an entity at all, you're a sole proprietorship or a partnership just based on the number of owners. LLCs are cool. LLCs, you can generally pick which of the categories you want to be, and you can change it every couple of years. So, you know, maybe it makes sense, like personally for my business right now, it actually does make sense for me to be a sole proprietor. That's because I have other sources of income that basically it works out very well for me to be a sole proprietor. At some point, that is not going to be the case, and I'll just be able to convert it over to an S Corp at that point. But it's still the same entity, the same bank accounts, the same EIN. And so from a tax standpoint, from a federal tax standpoint, an LLC is always the best option if you can do it. I say if you can do it because some businesses cannot be LLCs based on the state you're in. And that's mostly things like doctors and dentists, lawyers in some states cannot be an LLC. They have to either be a sole proprietor, a partnership, or a standard corporation.
Interesting. Okay. That's very interesting. Okay. So given how complicated that is, what sorts of mistakes do you see people make with their regularly, you know, the usual suspects with their taxes?
So the first is not figuring out what sort of entity you should be, or you figured out what you should be 5 or 10 years ago and you haven't investigated it again. Because again, maybe what worked great for you 5 years ago does not work as well for you today. But in terms of the other really big mistake I see, and this is something I'm harping more and more on, I'm pretty sure my email list is getting tired of me talking about it, but not keeping good records, not doing good bookkeeping contemporaneously to what's going on. The amount of stress of trying to figure out what was that $47 charge for Amazon for 8 months, 10 months, 12 months later is a real pain. If you sit down and do your bookkeeping once a month, which is what I recommend for most people, and categorize everything then, it's way less stressful. It's actually oftentimes cheaper to get your taxes done because myself, like many other people who do taxes, we charge more if your bookkeeping's a mess and we basically have to fix it. Right. It's less stressful for you, and it makes sure you don't lose stuff that you should get because you didn't document it. I was working with somebody just the other day, and like basically I calculated their taxes, like, this is a really high bill. And honestly, looking at your expenses compared to your income, like, you don't have a lot of expenses. And it's like they had just forgotten a conference they had gone to completely. A $3,000 plus
expense.
And they basically, because it was kind of complicated, it was partly a vacation and partly a business expense. Yeah. And so they needed to put it all on their personal credit card to follow the tax rules.
Right.
But then when they were reviewing everything, they just totally forgot about it. And it was like only me sitting there going, come on, there's got to be something else. What can you remember? And I mean, that's going to make $1,000 difference in the tax they owe this year.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Crazy. I can totally see that happening. So what are some, like, I'm using air quotes, like, brilliant ideas that you've seen people come up with to save taxes that don't work?
So there's lots of these things. Be careful getting your tax advice from YouTube, because there's lots of people who talk about this. The standard one is kind of you want to buy a new camera. Well, just say you're a photographer and you have a photography business and buy the camera, and now you can write off the cost of the camera. And that sort of a sham business thing doesn't work. If the IRS, first of all, like, if you say you have a business for 1 year and you have like one or two expenses and no revenue, that's a big red flag. You're asking, you're not guaranteeing an audit by any chance, but you're basically guaranteeing some human being is going to look at your tax return instead of the computers handling it. But to be in business, you need to do things like look for customers. Ideally have revenue, though it's not a requirement. And some businesses may not have any revenue for years. Like if you're, you know, Tesla, well, you got to build the factories to build the cars to sell them. That takes time. But that's a really common thing I see. And it's like, it's not hard to do legitimately, but you have to have a real business to do it. And otherwise, it's not deductible. Another thing I see a lot of times is people trying to basically self-deal as if it would save them money. So there was some guy I saw talking online about, this is great. Instead of buying a house myself, I'll set up an LLC, and then all of the expense, and it will own the house and it will rent it to me. And that way all the expenses will be deductible. And it's like, well, actually that doesn't work for a couple reasons. The biggest one being any money you pay to the LLC is now income to the LLC that will be income to you. So it basically is going to be a wash.
Right.
And secondarily, again, that's a sham business. Like, it, you can't just rent to yourself forever and say, I'm in business. You know, in general, if it's something that sounds too good to be true, it usually is. Now, there are legitimate things that sound too good to be true,
that
work.
Like what?
So my very favorite thing is paying kids. If you have children and they have to actually be your children, legally your children. So like, can't be your grandkids. It's not as good with your grandkids.
Right.
But when you pay your kids, first of all, most states don't make you jump through the same hoops as if you're employing anybody else. So most states, you don't have to deal with anything like unemployment or anything like that. But then every dollar you pay them is a deductible dollar off your business. But your kid is going to have a standard deduction this year of over $14,000. So instead of you paying money out of your pocket after paying taxes for their music lessons, you pay them to work in your business, then they pay for their music lessons, you get a tax write-off what you paid them, they pay no tax on what you pay them, and the money goes a lot further. And so I do this with my own kids. Like, one of my kids is in Scouts. I pay my kid pays for all the camping fees and the dues and buys their own camping gear, etc. And there are times, if you're a partnership or sole proprietor, that when you do this, you also completely avoid any payroll tax. So you don't need to pay the FICA, the Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, when it's actually your kid, if you do it right.
Wow.
And so that's an additional, potentially, again, 15% savings you're having.
Right.
So if you're somebody who's currently, you know, in the 24% tax bracket, which a lot of people are, and then you're paying 15% in self-employment taxes, you're basically paying 40% taxes. Call it 39 and a half, but.
Yeah.
Well, that means that if you pay your kid $5,000, money you were going to spend on them anyway, you just save $2,000 in taxes.
That's fascinating. I think that's the first time I've ever had it explained that way. That's pretty good. Now, you also say, you talk about turning personal expenses into business expenses. Is that one of the things that you're talking about?
Yes. So, okay. And kind of that's exactly what you're doing when you're paying your kids. It's turning the expenses you have being a parent and making it a business expense. But it's a lot broader than that. I mean, at a very minimum, if you have a business and you're not paying for at least part of your cell phone bill and part of your cell phone and some of your computer stuff and some of your home internet through the business, you're just leaving money on the table. Yeah. Like, that's trivial to justify. Like, of course I need a phone for my business.
Right.
Of course I need internet for my business. Of course I need a desktop computer and software for my business.
Right.
Now, maybe you can't write off the whole amount, but it's pretty easy to justify 50%. And sometimes you really can do the whole amount, but it can go a lot beyond that. Again, I mentioned earlier, a client of mine who took a trip, and basically what she did is she wanted to go to spend a couple of days in Miami. So she found a business conference that is related to her business in Miami. Well, the conference was, Thursday and Friday. So she flew down Wednesday. That was a business expense. She stayed in the hotel through the following Wednesday. So she stayed there for a week total. She was actually able to legally justify the hotel for through Sunday night as a business expense, and all of her meals through Sunday night as a business expense. So basically, she got the weekend paid for by the business, even though that was basically 100% for her. And then the flight home was paid for by the business. And she was able to justify that because by flying out on Wednesday instead of, say, on a Friday or a Saturday or a Sunday, the flight was way cheaper. So it was beneficial to her business. And basically, she actually could have argued the whole hotel was maybe write off because it costs less than the difference in airline price. We decided not to get that greedy.
Yeah.
But that's the type of thing that, like, find something you want to do and make it a business expense. The number of people I know who enjoy flying, they have a pilot's license. And it's like, well, if you're taking a business trip, look into renting a plane and flying yourself there instead of flying commercial. And yes, that may be more expensive, but that doesn't mean you can't justify it because maybe, you know, now you control what time you have to leave there. Now you don't have to worry about sitting in the airport for hours and hours. Oftentimes renting a car is cheaper if you can get to one of the smaller non-commercial airlines versus renting at the airport.
Right.
There are lots of ways to justify this. And again, really what they're doing is, hey, I now get to fly an extra, you know, 2-3 hours and enjoy my time doing it, but it's a business expense. So the government is basically paying for anywhere from 20-40% of the cost of renting the plane to do it.
Right. Wow. This is fascinating. I really appreciate this information because it's creative. It's a different way of looking at this. So, excuse me. Thank you so much for this. Will you tell the listeners how they can find you, please?
Sure. The best way to reach me is going to be on my website. That's agoristtaxadvice.com, A-G-O-R-I-S-T, taxadvice.com. I actually did set up a special page for your listeners, which is agoristtaxadvice.com/accelerate. If they go there, there's a free download of over 60 possible business deductions. It's the exact thing I go through with all my clients for, do you do this? Do you do this? Do you do this? Do you do this? Just to kind of get their mind thinking about, oh, what else can I expense? And that will put them on my email list. I send out a weekly email on mostly tax topics, sometimes general business topics. I try to make it You know, sometimes it's really high level topic, sometimes it's a very basic topic, so it helps everybody out. But yeah, so go to agoristtaxadvice.com/accelerate, download that report, and at that point, you'll get also an invitation to schedule a phone call with me if you want to. If you don't want to, if you want to wait, totally fine.
Awesome. Thank you. I'll make sure that's in the show notes. And listeners, thank you. You are who we're doing this for. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.